I'm dreaming
of a white Christmas Clem. Just like the one I used to know, where the calves' facts glisten and everyone listens.
Oh, shit!
To
the new intro,
the greatest calves show. Congratulations, Chris Clem's Cavs Cast, for having the greatest sports show ever.
And now, a call from
Damon the Dog Walker! Hammond!
And then the Cavs said unto their fans, don't you worry. We got this. And they destroyed the Boston Celtics on their court again. A court in which the home team Boston Celtics did not hold a lead one time in this entire series. Not once. In front of their own fans. Did they even lead a game at any moment for even a single point? So for everyone who was freaking out, for anyone who was doubting this team, and I'm speaking to myself a little bit as well, you saw the product on the court last night, or in game five. You saw the product, you saw what we're capable of. And I'm looking at Golden State, and I'm not afraid. It's not going to be easy. It shouldn't be easy. The journey to the top has to be difficult. Otherwise, the top would not be worth it. Curry, dead. Thompson, dead.
Squad. Cleveland. Let go.
Squad up. We coming for them rings. Squad up. We coming for them rings. Squad up. We coming for them rings. We coming for them rings.
I said
we coming for them rings. Squad up. We coming for them rings. Squad up. We coming for them rings. Squad up. We coming for them rings. We coming for them rings. We coming for them rings.
Cleveland, so what's up? Got the squad with me, let's run.
Let's run.
We go hard and we ball hard. They fall hard, man, it's fun. Hands up, you feel me? Hands up, you feel me? They doubting us, they doubting us, they doubting us. Then we'll see. Don't bring that weak stuff around me.
What you just heard there was a man who, before the playoffs started, didn't even think the Cavs had a chance to make the finals. And I'd like you to keep that in mind for what I'm about to say. Welcome, everybody, to Chris Clem's Cavs Cast. Tonight, the Cavs begin their third finals in a row against the Golden State Warriors. The irresistible force meets the immovable object. This is a showdown on Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant, WrestleMania 3 levels. It's a team with two teams with seven All-Stars meeting up in the finals for the third year in a row, something that has never in the history of the NBA happened before. The same two teams have never met 3 years in a row, and this might never happen again. The Cavs, with their big three, featuring what many people have come to say over the last few months is the greatest player of all time in LeBron James, a supernatural scoring guard with an ability to finish off every angle in Kyrie Irving, and a sweet shooting, rebounding machine in Kevin Love, matching up against the Golden State Warriors, and everybody's favorite fetus with scraggly pubes working on his first beard, Steph Curry. Klay Thompson, a man who has the brain function of someone who's been in a severe automobile accident but is somehow able to shoot like none other. very sweet stroke. And Kevin Durant, a guy who a lot of people would say is the biggest baby in NBA history, going from a team that he choked against. Reminder, he played awful in those last three games that they lost the Golden State Warriors last year, and joining up with the team that beat him. Basically, if you can't beat him, join him, and that's what he did. Mind you, that's a philosophy usually espoused by villains in movies. Also on the team is a creature that Conan the Barbarian, I thought, dispatched in Conan the Destroyer, but apparently came back to life and was resurrected in Lansing, Michigan, and went on to be a star at Michigan State. Yes, I'm talking about none other than perhaps the ugliest man in the NBA since Tyrone Hill, Draymond Green. Now you may be saying, hey, Chris, that sounds like a lot more than three. You'd be correct, because four is one more than three. And that's math that works out to the Golden State Warriors having an advantage. Of course, you got to throw in their human goon, the man guarding the paint and destroying people's ankles, Zaza Pachulia, who seems like a nice guy, but looks like a mixture of a caveman and apparently Bruce Bowen. The Cavs also have, rounding out their starting five, one of the best, if not the best, offensive rebounder in the NBA in Tristan Thompson, Canada's favorite son. And of course, your and my favorite, everybody's favorite, or second favorite, I guess, Cavalier, J.R. Smith, the man who in 2.5 short years has become nothing other than a legend in Cleveland sports history. Now, before I go any further, I should add that last series I was not able to do a podcast. I've missed quite a few. I've been battling with some sort of weird viral infection, perhaps a bacterial infection, I guess I should say, of my respiratory regions, my upper airways, and I'm having a hard time talking. So if this sounds off, I apologize. I'm really trying my hardest to speak clearly, but I am still a little stuffed up. And honestly, what was there to say about the Boston Celtics that I haven't said on this podcast for 2 years? Isaiah Thomas the Lesser is a joke. The Boston Celtics were better after he got hurt. Everything I have said on this show has come to fruition, so I want you to keep that in mind for what I'm about to say. We could dispatch with the matchups. There's plenty of sites, plenty of shows where you can get a in-depth breakdown of statistics, matchups, who's better than who. I'm going to break it down to some key points, and I'm going to give my prediction, and I'm going to leave it at that, because that's all anybody cares about, right? First off, the Warriors are very, very good. The Cavs are very, very good. I believe, honestly, either of these teams could beat almost any team of the last 30 years, or at least make it a series. I honestly think, despite the Cavs not being favored, they could easily, and people with a hard-on for the 90s are really going to be mad about this, but I think they would beat Jordan's Bulls without, I don't want to say ease, but they would beat them. Now, that's not a fact, that's just my opinion, but I honestly think they have a better matchup. And honestly, any team from this era that plays the style of fast-paced, pace and space, three-point shooting would have a huge advantage over these old teams. So it's really not a fair comparison, and one of the huge flaws in arguing over who is better from a historical perspective. But in order for the Cavs to win, they're going to have to do a couple things. Play defense from beginning to end in a way that they haven't necessarily had to or even shown they could in the playoffs so far. Own the boards, preventing the Warriors from leaking out and getting really quick threes in transition or quick offense on the other end. And figure out a way, three, for Kevin Love to be an impact player. Now, he's been playing great in the playoffs. He's been having a great season, rounding back into all-star form. But there is one team in the entire NBA that he does not match up against. Every other team, you have an advantage with him on your side. But against one team, there's really no way to maximize his effectiveness, and that is against the Golden State Warriors. He's going to have to rebound his ass off. He's going to have to hit the shots when he gets a chance, and he's going to have to try his hardest to play defense. If Kevin Love can come close to approximating the way he played in the regular season, the Cavs will win the series. But if he is unable to stay on the floor, he's unable to guard anybody, and he's pretty much run off the court with the style of play, the Cavs will not have a very easy go of it. And a matter of fact, have no chance of winning. So not to label anybody an X factor, because of course there's a lot more into play. Who knows, one of the Warriors with their fragile ankles, they could be destroyed at any minute. Kevin Durant or Steph Curry could be done for. There's a lot of things you could say are an X factor. But in my mind, the one thing that needs to be done for the Cavs to win is Kevin Love has to be able to play at least 25 to 30 minutes a game. And that's going to be tough. Now, before I get to the preview, I have some guests lined up to preview the upcoming games on each show. The Game 2's guest is Stan the Man from the Bay Area, who's going to give us an insider's perspective of what it feels like to be in the Bay Area after the Cavs-Warriors Game 1. He's called in now with his prediction and some notes on the series, so take it away, Stan.
Behind enemy lines with Stan the Man in the Bay Area.
The whistle's gone. Woo!
What's up, Chris Klamm and the C4 podcast listeners out there? Game 1, June 1st. It's tonight. It's time. We've waited all year for the finals. The Warriors had a breeze coming in. No Nurkic for the Blazers. George Hill missed a couple games. Gobert was playing on one knee. Tony Parker out for the Spurs. David Lee leaves in a wheelchair. And before that, Kawhi Leonard goes down with a high, the famous, dreaded high ankle sprain, only to get to the finals for the Warriors. The Cavs, smooth sailing as well. One little game of adversity and struggle, but it wouldn't be Cleveland sports without that adversity and struggle that we know, that we love to hate, but we love it as well because it ain't sports without a little Cleveland postseason and season drama. We're here. A couple of things to look out for. Who guards Kevin Durant? Does LeBron guard him? Does he get tired guarding him? Or do we punt it and give him to JR and Shumpert coming off the bench to guard him? Also, does Zaza Pachulia play heavy minutes? What about JaVale McGee? When JaVale McGee comes in, do we put in Shannon Frye and stretch out the series? We can also do that too. A couple concerns I have is still Sean Livingston. Chris, this is something you and I have talked about for years. I think he's 6'7", 6'8", point guard with that elbow jump shot that's almost guaranteed to drop in. Who guards him? What do we do there? One of the good news for us, we don't have Mo Williams running the backup point guard this year. We got Darren Williams. We got Kyle Korver coming in instead of worrying about do we play Mozgov minutes. Ultimately, I think Kyrie is in Curry's head. We're going to get this game. It's chess. Who knows what's going to happen? But I know I think the Cavs will win in 6. Looking forward to talk to you more soon. Let's go, Cavs. Game 1 is here. The finals.
Peace!
A reminder to all, if you so desire, you can call in the show at 330-822-2296 and leave your own voicemail for me to play on the show, much like Damon and Stan did for this episode. I look forward to hearing all of your interesting takes after Game 1 of the NBA Finals. One more announcement. On June 12th of this year, Game 5 of the NBA Finals, we will be having a live podcast recording and alternative commentary for Game 5 at the Water Street Tavern in Kent, Ohio, thanks to Anthony Savatt and his weekly comedy show there. We did this last summer. It was a lot of fun. You could go back and listen to that episode in the archives. We had all kinds of people coming in and doing commentary during the game, and it was pretty awesome. And hopefully we could do it again as the Cavs will steal another game on the road, we hope, during Game 5. And you will be entertained during the commercial breaks by stand-up comedy, and during the game itself, we will be doing our own alternative commentary. You get to watch all of the game and have a few laughs along the way, and I'd really appreciate it if you came out. It's a free show. June 12th at the Water Street Tavern in Kent, Ohio. Now, for the moment we've all been waiting for, my prediction. This is a tough one, you know, because honestly, every single thing in my body is telling me the Warriors are going to win in five, and there's really no other way to look at this. I don't see how Kevin Love can stay on the floor. The Cavs aren't deep enough, and the Warriors are just really, really good. And while the Cavs are a lot better than last year, the Warriors added the last MVP of the NBA not named Steph Curry or LeBron James and Kevin Durant. And that's a huge upgrade. That's a lot better than cohesion and a new backup point guard and one of the greatest three-point shooters in NBA history and Kyle Korver. That's like adding one of the top 20 players of all time to a team that had already set the record for the most wins in the regular season. That's unfair. And I honestly have been racking my brain thinking of excuses or reasons why the Cavs can pull off the upset this year, and I just don't see it happening. Now, I was wrong last year. I thought the Cavs would win in six, and they won in seven. So I'm not going to act like I'm infallible, but I feel like I've had a pretty good finger on the pulse for most of the playoffs. I actually thought they would sweep the Celtics, and they really should have. But I just don't – I don't know. As of now, I got to give it to Warriors. Due to the fact that neither team has won on their home floor in the first two series, I'm going to bump it up and say Warriors in six. And I'd really, really want, as you guys know, the Cavs to win. I just don't see how it's going to be possible this year. And it really sucks, you know, because the Cavs are good enough in any other era of the NBA. They could be a dynasty and roll off five wins in a row. And at the end of this, they might end up being 1-4. But that one win was still pretty fucking awesome. And I'll never forget it. So while I really hope they can pull it off, I don't think they're going to. And that makes me really sad. But that doesn't take away from how good they are and how exciting this final should be. Now, hopefully I'm wrong, and on June 18th, I'm losing my mind and screaming with the rest of you. But the Cavs got to show me something, man. They've been unstoppable on offense, even better on offense than the Warriors. If their defense could hold up, they could do it. They could score on anybody. I'm not trying to talk myself into it. I really think they can do it. I'm just not sure they will. Let's just see. Kevin Love can stay on the floor. Kyle Korver can get some good minutes. And, you know, the Warriors, they got Mike Brown on the bench. If anything, that's a good sign for the Cavs, right? I'm so conflicted. I feel like a fraud for picking the Warriors and going with my brain when my heart says the Cavs. My heart always says the Cavs. I don't know. The Warriors are probably going to win, and it sucks. But I just think the Cavs came along at the wrong time. Shit. Cavs in six.
Chris Clem's Cavs Cast is brought to you by Chris Clem. The Cleveland Cavaliers do not support, endorse, or in any way approve of this podcast. If you'd like to get a hold of us, our phone number is 330-822-2296. Or you can email me at c4podcast@chrisclem.net. Thanks for listening.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.